Shocker, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Good. Just finishing up at Eskimos today.
Yeah, Mike Riley looking a lot more mobile.
Yeah, I thought he looked way better than he did a week ago, obviously. He didn't really test it that much today, though. He didn't, like, I still don't know what it'll look like if he tries to bust out into a full-out sprint. I don't think it'll be good. So I think he still took it pretty easy on it today. But, yeah, certainly big improvement over 1 week ago, for sure.
Well, yeah, there's no reason for him to bust out sprinting in practice. But just him taking more, you know, 3- and 5-step drops in the pocket, to me, shows that he can put more weight on his right foot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last week he didn't even want to, he wasn't even dropping back at all. And then as the week went on, he looked a little bit better. But I think probably most importantly, it doesn't look like playing in that game set him back even further. And that was the concern, was if they have to go to him, do they risk him getting worse for the game in Calgary? And it doesn't look like he took a step backwards. Now the question is, what does, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday do, 3 days, how close can he get to being effective on his feet? And I don't know what the answer is, but the difference in Mike Riley having to stay in the pocket out of the shotgun and just try and pass versus being able to threaten with his feet a little bit is massive. It's massive. And I'm not sure how close they'll be able to get him to 100%, but I think the difference is pretty significant. So they need a bit of a miracle here with it if they want him to be running the football at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at Riley, a lot of his play, there were a few in the playbook that are designed, but a lot of them are him ad-libbing when things break down. I think with him not being as mobile, and I don't know if you got, I didn't have a chance to ask him because when practice ended, obviously he's not cohesive for me being on the air. But
yeah, for sure.
Do you think this will force him to have to I think it's going to force him to have to read defenses better because he knows he can't rely on his scrambling ability as much.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I didn't put it to him that way. What I did say to him was, if you have to take off running, can you? Or is it just going to be, you know, you're going to have to either take the hit or – and he said, no, I can get out of the pocket. I can move around. He tried to sell it like he'd be able to run if he had to. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of that. Didn't look like that to me. But, you know, I asked him that question today just about – his ability to go if he has to. And he says they wouldn't put him in if he weren't able to execute the plays that they have. Now, you know, receivers need to work a little bit harder to make sure they're getting open for him. He needs to do a better job of reading defenses so he doesn't have to go into panic mode, for sure. Those are two things that can help if your quarterback isn't as mobile.
Switching to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Pinizzotto's in for Uensu, which, yeah, it's great for energy, but that's far from going to solve the woes of the Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think that by all accounts, he's been playing pretty well in the minors. I thought Uensu's game had tailed off a little bit the last little bit here. So he injects what they put in the lineup is they put another guy in who thinks hit first, who's not afraid to drop the gloves if the game comes to that, and who, you know, he's got some pretty good speed too. So it's just a little bit of energy and life, a little enthusiasm into the lineup, and I think they need that. I think it's gone stale a little bit in that bottom on that fourth line, so I got no problem with that. But, yeah, I mean, is he going to be the difference between beating the Vancouver Canucks for the first time this year or not? Probably not, but at least it's a change. I mean, going with the same lineup over and over again, loss after loss, doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Well, no, I understand that. We just had Ray Ferraro on who talked about it. And Ferraro agreed with me that, you know, benching Eberle for an entire game, likely something the coach can't do, but said, you know, the time's come now to bench the guys in the power play. There's no, you know, for guys missing a few power play shifts or missing a few shifts, like if the coach doesn't do it now, there's zero fear factor from the players. There's no accountability.
Yeah, I heard your conversation with Ray, and I do agree on the power play especially. I think it's been stagnant for long enough now, and guys have been given more than enough opportunity. The problem is they don't really have like, I think Arcabello has been brutal on the power play too. I mean, the shifts, he took a few shifts on that second unit for Draisaitl, and he seemed like a black hole with the puck. I mean, he was having trouble, you know, on entries, making good plays with it. To me, he really struggled. So it's difficult because you want to sit Jordan Eberle on your top unit power play. Well, you know, you can only go so many players deep before you're getting the guys that they don't belong on either unit, you know. But, yeah, I mean, if he continues to not shoot the puck enough or aren't going to the hard areas, the front of the net, then, yeah, for sure, sit him down. Throw Yakupov on that unit instead. Or Perron, if he's not there tonight. Like, move it around a little bit. Dallas needs to crack the whip a little bit when he's not getting results. And I think that he probably needs to lean on guys a little more on that power play. It's been the same personnel for most of the year.
Yeah, they've got to change something up because it's not working. And the guys who are on there, they've got to get way hungry and way more desperate. Like, their power play is basically, we should call it the perimeter power play.
Oh, yeah. They work it around the outside. And then, you know, we talked the other day about Taylor and his one-timer, which is good. But what was happening with Taylor in that last game is he's drifting off to the side looking for the one-timer instead of getting to the front of the net when there's a shot coming and creating traffic. So by these guys wanting these one-timers off the wing there, it just, you're going the other direction instead of heading towards the nets. Traffic in front of the net, mucking it up a little bit. I have no issue with whether it's Gordon or whoever having a plug on the line to get in front because the other guys aren't going there enough.
No, not at all. So, you know, funny enough, who's got one of their power play goals recently? Boyd Gordon.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, they have to change it. Now, I know yesterday's you were fired up, so I'm guessing you'll be even more fired up today. Marty Marincin closer to the you're spending as much time as he is in the press box right now.
I don't know. I don't understand it. I hope he at least knows what he did wrong. I hope that at least it's been explained to him. Hey, here's what you did. Here's why we're not playing you. Here's the lesson to learn. I hope it's not just radio silence for him. And he doesn't know why he's being ignored game after game here. I hope that they're at least communicating to him so there's a lesson to be learned here and not just pure frustration. And you'd have to assume Dallas is talking to his players, you know, as to why they're not getting back in the lineup. But this is a young, developing defenseman. He needs to play. So whether that's in the minors, whether that's here, whatever this is, he needs to play. And it's not like this team is winning game after game and there's just no way they could possibly spare a roster spot for him. Give me a break. They're losing game after game here. They've got defensemen who are struggling. So to me, it doesn't make sense. Don't understand it. They've got a guy in Nikitin who's so clearly struggling. I don't get why they're holding him out, but that's, you know, sometimes a coach, most coaches have a whipping boy, and it would appear in the early going here that Marincin is the guy because whatever mistake he made, he's not being given the opportunity to come back from it, and that's a problem. You need to give guys a chance to claw their way back out.
Yeah, it seems right now that they're waiting until Keith Ollie's play falters, and Ollie's done everything that's been asked of him. He's played physical. He's, you know, Ollie hasn't made any glaring mistakes at all in his defensive zone. There's no way you could take him out of the lineup because he had something no one else really has. So it's almost like, well, it doesn't matter how bad those other guys play, unless Keith falters, we're not switching up our back end.
And that doesn't make any sense. Like, why sit there and wait for the shoe to drop on Ollie rather than using it as an opportunity to send the message that the guys who are playing well are going to play? So, Keith, you're playing well, great, you're in. Nikitin struggling, you know what? You get a seat in the press box tonight, the kid's in. But rather than sitting there waiting for the right guy to play bad to get him in, take the guy who's obviously not playing good, sit him down, send him a message, and, you know, I don't know. Some might, I think maybe the concern with Nikitin is how he'd handle being healthy scratched.
Who cares?
If it would, you know, if he'd respond properly or if it would go the wrong way with him. But at this point, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's playing bad enough that, I mean, he deserves to be sat. And if he's not, and if he doesn't like it, tough. It's the NHL. Play better, you'll be in more often. But I don't think because he's a veteran, I think they're handling it with kid gloves a little bit. And I think his play has been bad enough that he no longer deserves to be handled that way. He just needs to come out and let Marincin play.
Yeah, I get my question would be this. When you say, well, they're worried about how he's going to play, Can he possibly play more worse consistently than he is right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in the big picture, how does Nikita Nikitin handle being healthy scratched, right? Like, is it going to rally him? And is he going to be better over the next 3 weeks for it? Or is he going to spiral? And you wonder which way he would go with it. And maybe they're worried about that. I'm not sure, but it's the only thing I can think of, because the play so clearly dictates that a night in the press box wouldn't be out of line.
Shager, can the Oilers, is tonight the night the streak ends?
Well, I think they're set up for it too, because I think that, you know, Taylor Hall's back. He's playing well. Nugent Hopkins is playing as good a hockey as he's ever played. So facing Vancouver in that stretch will be good. I think it probably sets up for them to break through tonight if they get a little bit of goaltending from Scriven. So, yeah, I'll go out on a limb and say that the Oilers do get by them tonight.
Really? All right.
I don't know.
Hey, well, they got to. Eventually, they're going to beat the West, right? Like, they're not going
to happen,
right? Like, they're not going to lose all. They're not going. Well, whatever it would be, like, go winless in 52 games against the West. That's not going to happen. They're going to win eventually.
Yeah, it's got to happen at some point. And I mean, look, trying to predict what this team is going to do on any given night. Good luck. I mean, it's been that way for so long. I've been saying that on this show for so long. Like, good luck predicting anything. I know on Oilers Nation you always do your game day predictions. I don't envy you having to do those, because honestly, like, you might as well go grab a magic eight ball to try and figure out what team is going to come out, which Oilers team is going to come out.
Yeah, I'm more proud of when my not so obvious ones get correct, because I've been crushing
those. Has
that ever happened? Oh, quite a bit, actually. Yeah.
Really?
My best one last year was when I called Nick Schultz to score. Because he lights up Anaheim and he scored in the first period. That one was the best. So,
yeah. Well, if you throw enough, you know what, against the wall.
No. There's some thought into ones that have a possibility of happening. Like, do you know who the last Oilers defenseman was to score two goals in a game?
Oh, goodness.
He was really well liked in Edmonton.
Tom Pody.
Corey Potter.
Corey Potter. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Late in the year against when they got outshot 47-19, but beat Minnesota 6-2.
Yeah, remember he got that 2-year deal mid-season?
Yeah, that was a good deal.
Yeah. Where's he now, by the way?
He's in the American League.
Oh, okay. Just checking on that one.
Yeah. But no. So you watch tonight, Shager. An Oiler defenseman will score two goals. That was my not so obvious prediction.
Your not so obvious prediction, really? Yeah. Which one of them?
I said Petrie, actually.
Oh.
Which would make it even more less obvious, because he's not a goal scorer.
Well, and he just recently got one, so you think he'd be set for a little while.
Hey, though. He's on fire right now, though. You got to go with the hot hand.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen, because I've been sitting here chirping him for two straight days, is Nikitin's going to get two tonight. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I actually thought about putting his name in, but I was like, I don't have any faith in this guy scoring two goals. At least Petr, I think it's plausible he could score. But Nikitin, I don't have much faith.
Nikitin has the best shot among all the Oilers defensemen. He's got an absolute bomb, but he doesn't use it enough and doesn't get it through enough. It's more his play in his own end that concerns me.
Shager, we will see you at 6 o'clock start. The first time I was looking it up, and I'm pretty sure the first regular season game ever on a midweek that's a 6 o'clock start in Edmonton.
Wow. Well, we'll take it, because we finish up sooner and there's still time for bevvies after.
That'll be nice. All right. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.